Today's gospel lesson is from Mark chapter 6, verse 14 through 29. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a righteous and had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Thou who art over us, Thou who art one of us, Thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see Thee, a humble heart that we may hear Thee, a heart of love that we may serve Thee, and most of all, a heart of faith that we may always abide in Thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. This morning's gospel lesson is a horrible story. It's terrible. It's hard to say thanks be to God after a story like that, but it's there in our lectionary, and I am a lectionary preacher. We don't expect stories like this when we come to church on a Sunday morning. Perhaps we should just skip this account and read the next one instead. It's a much happier story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's a story of life and of abundance. Isn't it strange? Herod's horrible banquet runs right into the story where Jesus makes sure that everyone is fed. Mark is a careful and skillful writer. He wants us to hear these two stories together. Even though we haven't yet heard the other story, we will in a couple of weeks. I hope you can remember at least something about Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's a story found in all four of our gospel texts. As Mark tells the story, it's a story filled with contrasts. Jesus withdrew to be alone, but a great crowd followed him. It was a deserted place, but it has become a place of abundance. The disciples said, send the people away. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yet more than 5,000 were fed with 12 baskets left over. Can you hear the contrasts? They oppose each other. Alone, crowd, deserted, filled, send them away, feed them. Too little, more than enough. Isn't that how it is? How it always is with God's kingdom? Things don't always turn out like we expect or would want. Things are often turned upside down. Now, if we were to consider these two stories together, then the greatest contrast of all between them is Jesus' banquet of life and Herod's banquet of death and violence. Mark has placed these two stories side by side. He wants us to see the stark contrast between two very different banquets. Hard as it is to listen, let's go back to Herod's story. The feast was not in a deserted place, but in a lavish palace. There wasn't a large crowd, but a select guest list of invited people, important people. Herod's wife, Herodias, was there, even though she shouldn't have been. Herod had stolen her from his brother, and John the Baptist had condemned this unlawful tryst, and for that, John landed up in prison. Though Herod was a Jew, the temptation and lure of power had replaced Torah and Jewish law for him. And I'm sure he tried not to think about it, especially at his own birthday celebration. But why did he give in to this horrible request? Wasn't it enough to have John in prison? Herod liked to listen to John, which was odd indeed, for John preached repentance wherever he went. Was there something inside Herod that remembered God's word that spoke to Herod? Herod recognized something in his witness that spoke to his own experience. He had come to know enough about truth to see his own motives and his own falseness, but the lure of power was just too much. He was more or less caught in the middle. But he had promised Herodias' daughter that he would give her anything that she wanted, even half of my kingdom, he said. He never dreamt that she would ask for John's head. He was grieved at her request, grieved because he feared the crowd beyond the palace, where they revered John as a prophet. Grieved also because he was still drawn to what John had said. But his guests, they had heard his oath. How could he disappoint his guests? Who knows what the other officers might tell someone higher up? Herod was quite conscious of how social perceptions work to shape one's decisions and possibilities in life. So Herod gave the command, and soon the head of John the Baptist was brought out on a platter as though it was dessert or the last course of the meal. This was a very different banquet. Not the abundance of Jesus' feast, not 12 baskets of food left over, but a horrifying leftover, John the Baptist's head on a plate. The death of one whose task it was to usher in the kingdom of God. The battle between political power and prophetic faith had been waged, and political power scored the winning goal. Now, Herod could have made a different choice, but the need for power had replaced God in his life. Though he loved to listen to John the Baptist, he couldn't risk and spare his own reputation. Power ultimately had shaped his values and his decisions. One wonders, is it possible to maintain a powerful empire or a life of comfort and security and feed people who are hungry and meet others' needs? The leftovers of power have almost always been destruction and violence and even death, sometimes even in the name of peace and security and in the name of God. It was John's prophetic voice. That voice that announced and echoes, "Repent, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." and the rough places will be made smooth. Friends, it is into such a context, into the contrasts of life, into our world that Jesus comes with an alternative vision. The kingdom of God has come near to you, he said over and over again. He taught it, he told parables about it, and lived it wherever he went. Jesus brought his kingdom vision to the crowds who even interrupted his solitary time of prayer, as we will find out next week. When the hour grew late, the disciples said, Jesus, this is a deserted place. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the village on their own and buy food for themselves. Everything rational and from our human nature shouts, hey, that's a great idea. Herod would say, that is a great idea. Send them away. But Jesus says, do not send them away. You give them something to eat. The scene also reminds me of the account in Matthew when the disciples want to send the children away. The little children were being brought to Jesus in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not stop them. For it is such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. And Jesus laid his hands on them and went on his way. But Jesus, we can't. The excuses and the rationalizations begin. Jesus, you have to understand. Hunger is a very complicated global problem. Or if we give our money to poor countries, corrupt leaders divert donations for their own personal use. You've got to understand. The needs are just too immense. We don't know where to start, or I don't have the time or the wisdom to figure it out. I don't know what to do, and even if I did, I'm only one person. I have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus knows that we're perplexed and sometimes even overwhelmed, but our excuses, the things that we utter with our mouths and by example, by our actions, our excuses are sometimes no better than those of the disciples or even of Herod. Every day our life is full of choices. And some of those choices conflict with each other and conflict with our faith. And some of those decisions, some of those choices that we make can give life to others. Herod chose loyalty to the power that he wielded. He presided over a banquet of violence and death and even went against his own best judgment. Jesus called his disciples to make a choice. You give them something to eat. They could have said, no. No, Jesus. For they only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just enough probably to feed themselves. It would be human nature for them to protect what they had, what they had been given, or even to serve themselves first. But Jesus called them beyond themselves. They did have something. You have something. I have something. We have something. And Jesus multiplies and blesses what we bring. And when that happens, there will not be a banquet of violence and destruction. There will be a banquet of life. Of life. And enough for everyone. What have you brought? What will you bring? Thanks be to God.